That energizes me today. And I'm sure it does you as well. And I trust today that as we look into the Word, that it will energize you spiritually as well. I really appreciate your pastor. We've come to get to love and know Bob over the years, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak in his pulpit. The topic for today that I want to speak about is prayer. And although we may be in church for many years, if I were to ask you to raise your hand today and say, I'd like you to pray over this congregation here, I doubt very much if every hand would go up. I know I was in that category often, and by times I still am. People are reticent about praying, about putting the time in, and certainly not in praying in public. Many are feel comfortable with it, but many don't. And so I hope today that the truths that we share with you will help encourage you in your prayer life to make it a part of your daily life. I'd like to begin talking about the hows and the whys of prayer. Hopefully, as we look into Luke today, it will help us capture and reveal what a true prayer life is like as Jesus taught his disciples. The disciples saw him praying, and to their credit, they asked him about prayer. And he gives them not only a lesson on prayer, but he gives them a prayer to pray. This prayer is very close to the prayer that he gives in Matthew, the one that we call the Lord's Prayer. And it is similar, but not exactly the same. It's very close. This prayer is a little different, however, similar, but not identical. The differences aren't all that significant, but some might ask why Luke would record one prayer and then Matthew would record a similar prayer. And the simple explanation of that is that they heard him praying at different intervals and so recorded what they had heard. Today we're going to look at three principles of prayer that I hope will help you understand the why to and the how to in your prayer life. No matter where you are in your prayer life, these things, I believe, will help us. We're cornerstones in our faith that will help us journey into the area of prayer in our life and get to know and deepen our connection with God. Consider who Jesus was speaking to when he prayed. These were disciples, the founding apostles of the church. They were already men of prayer. They knew what prayer was, and they had heard the Master pray in front of them several times. And they were raised attending the synagogue, and they had heard scripture about prayer. They knew the Shema when they prayed it, as recorded in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord your God is one. They knew prayer, and they experienced it and its power in their lives already. And shortly before this story takes place, they returned from a missionary journey where people were healed and demons were cast out as a result of prayer. They knew something about spiritual authority, for they saw it firsthand. And yet they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, just as if they were beginners. And yet they were there one morning, and as they listened to him, these were the points that I think that Scripture tells us today. And the first one is that you never stop learning about prayer. You'll never get to that place in your life, so don't try to burden yourself with it, where you feel completely accomplished in prayer, because prayer is just not about you. Prayer is that supplication that we have with the Holy Spirit, that direct link that we have to God. Today's story begins with Jesus praying. And when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. There's something of a paradox at work here. You don't have to know anything about prayer to start praying. Did you realize that? Anyone can pray at any time. God is eager and waiting to hear us pray. The Bible says that he inclines his ear to our prayers in Psalm 116:2. So we can pray without knowing anything about prayer. It simply is talking to God. There's nothing special about it in that regard. And we can learn more about prayer as we attempt it, like we exercise our body. We become muscular and we become stronger as we exercise it, as we continue to go through the regimen of exercise. However, to be sure, you will never arrive at that place where you are fully accomplished. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus gave them a prayer to recite. The lesson here is that prayer is more than a topic that you study. It's a habit. It's a reflex. And I would hope that in your prayer life, it is a reflex, that it's an automatic for you. When you feel overwhelmed with blessing, or when you feel overwhelmed with burden, your first reflex will be to go to God in prayer. Matthew 6:5 says, "And when you pray, do it not like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." And in Matthew 6:7 it says, "Don't babble on like the pagans who think they'll be heard because they say so many words." In other words, prayer is not a performance. Now, I've been in situations and congregations and areas where people have prayed and it just overwhelmed me. They had everything in their prayer and it was in place and it was so full of the Spirit of God. And I thought, will there ever come a day when I can pray like that? But God has called us to our own faith. And in prayer, he has called us to pray in our own way. We don't pray for show. We don't try to impress anybody. We simply talk to God. That's because, as has been said so many times, we learn to pray by praying. Over time, our prayers will become better. Over time, we will learn more about how to pray, how to speak, how to connect with God. We'll learn how to ask in faith, and we'll learn how to pray the prayers of intercession. We'll learn how to listen and hear God's voice in prayer. We'll understand about single-minded prayer. We'll understand about praying with a pure heart. You may read about these things in a book. You may hear about these things in a sermon, but you'll learn only by getting on your knees before God and exercising your privilege to come before a holy God in prayer. Prayer is like learning a new language. You don't wait until you're totally fluent in this language before you start speaking it. You become fluent by doing just that. You may make mistakes, you may stumble, but eventually something amazing happens. People begin to understand and hear your heart. Your words begin to make perfect sense. You even find that you begin to think in the language of prayer. That's how prayer works. You learn to pray by praying, and over time, prayer becomes a part of you. On top of that, there's an amazing promise from Scripture about prayer. You don't have to go it alone. In fact, prayer, effective prayer, is never alone because it's in the presence of the Holy Spirit. God helps us when we pray. St. Paul wrote about this in Romans 8:26, where he says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us." How many times have I felt, and possibly you have felt, the need to go before God and pray about a situation? Maybe it's a friend or a family relative that's going through some trying times. And it has struck us from out of nowhere, and we just simply wonder, What are the words that I should use to pray? How can I bring this before God that will make sense? Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Pray as you would talk to God, that He is standing right there with you, because He is. We serve a God that is omnipresent in the personage of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it can be a prayer of elegance, but it can be a simple prayer. God hears them all when our hearts are right before Him. You don't need perfect words. You just need a willing heart, an open heart that says, God, I need you. I need that intimacy with you right now. Help me understand what is on my heart. And the more you pray, the more you will be prone to pray. The more you will be confident to pray. Knowing that it's not going to a ceiling someplace or before a wall, but actually the God of the universe is listening, is hearing your heart's cry, is desiring to make the difference in whatever it is that you are bringing before them. The second thing I want to leave with you today is this. The practice of prayer is as simple as it can be. As simple as it can be. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and so He taught them a prayer that any of us can pray. In the Greek, this prayer that He taught them is expressed in a mere 38 words. That's all it takes to pray like Jesus prayed. He said, your prayers aren't heard because your many words. It's not like a term paper where you've got to ramble and ramble on to get the total number of words that are required. Your prayers are heard because of the condition of your heart and the faith that you pray in. What do we pray for? Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily needs. That's why it's so important before we get into our day to take that time before God and talk to Him. Invite Him into our day. I know it's not what the world likes to exercise, but we are believers in Christ. And what we do by beginning our day in prayer is showing our dependence on God. Jesus teaches us to ask for what we need one day at a time. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, for whom God provided manna one day at a time. Prayer teaches us to focus on today and not worry about the tomorrows, for He has those in His hands. To trust Him for the day. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I think we can testify to the fact that that is accurate. Okay. The term daily bread is not a reference to a devotional booklet found in most churches, but symbolizes praying for everything about our life, everything that matters in the now. For God is concerned about the now. Groceries, rent, health, work, resolving a conflict, getting the car repaired, getting the yard taken care of, getting through the next project, making sure the air conditioner keeps working. Nothing is too big or too small, but God cares about it and cares about you. Your prayer for your daily needs. And Jesus teaches us to pray for forgiveness. We're to pray for the forgiveness we need to receive and also for the forgiveness that we need to give. It's on both sides, right? Verse 4 today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And if we hold that forgiveness back, it only hurts us. It only hurts us. Like praying for our daily needs, forgiveness is an ongoing process. Life is not perfect, and neither are we. There's an unbreakable connection between the forgiveness you receive and the forgiveness that you extend. That's the flow of God's grace. We need to understand that today. Forgiveness given and forgiveness received comes by the grace of God. That's why St. Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Too often, if we've been on our journey for some time, we forget about that day when that cleansing spirit came within us and regenerated us and poured his grace of forgiveness into us. And now these many years later, maybe it has lost its impact on us, but that grace is still just as real. That forgiveness is still just as real, and we need to acknowledge that. Each day we're to pray for forgiveness, and we're to pray for the ability to forgive. And thirdly, Jesus teaches us to pray for guidance and direction. Verse 4 again, lead us not into temptation. I don't know about you, but of all the times in my life when I decided I was going to drive my own boat, most times I drove it into disaster. It wasn't until that I finally got on my knees before God and realized and acknowledged that I can't do this on my own. And even when I get in those disasters, it's only God that can help me right the ship and get back where I need to be. I suspect today this may ring true with you. The book of James says that God doesn't tempt anyone. So what is Jesus saying this about this? Lead us not into temptation. Well, I believe he's teaching us to pray for protection from falling. Not just from sin, but from any situation that would overpower us. See, it's not smart to go play with danger and then expect it not to happen in our lives. It's the way of saying, Lord, steer me in the right direction and steer me away from anything that would drag me down or take me off course. Help me to see your steps. Help me to follow by your grace in those steps. We should pray each day for help, particularly when we feel most vulnerable. Oftentimes, we go through these times where we feel strong as can be and we could handle anything that life would come at us. But there are other times when we are more vulnerable, maybe feel beaten down a little bit, and it's those times where the enemy will try to take advantage. We need to be praying that God will keep our steps in the steps of righteousness. This brings us to our third principle. The power of prayer is in persistence. The power of prayer is in persistence. Now, I know and you know, and there may be many of you here today that have been a prayer warrior, that have prayed for people for many years. And there is power in that. Like the example in Scripture where the woman kept coming back to the judge to get results, to get resolve. God knows what he wants to do in every situation, amen? But he is waiting on us to come before him and seek him for that answer. Right after Jesus gives his disciples a prayer to pray, he tells them a story. It's a kind of a strange story, really, about a man knocking on his neighbor's door at midnight because he needs bread. Apparently, he didn't live in our town where they close at 8 o'clock at night. Stranger still was relentless. He didn't want to get up, but eventually he did. But he kept crying out to him, and he said, "Don't bother me. The door is locked, and my kids are asleep, and I'm not getting up." But here's the turning point. Jesus says the neighbor will eventually get up. Not because he's a friend of yours, but because of your persistence. And we pray for things and we want answers for them. But we need to mean business before a God. Not just a, "Lord, we could use such and such," and just go on about our way like he's a retail store. We need to mean business before God. It is our persistence that makes the difference. The NIV translates this word shameless translates this word as shameless audacity. And that's what it means. Shameless audacity, relentless temerity, the kind of boldness that keeps knocking even when anyone else would have given up and walked away. And Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. And he showed us by example. Best example was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When others kept falling asleep and falling away and could not stand with him, he continued to petition the Almighty Father. Now, we don't want to make the mistake point of this story. Jesus isn't comparing God to the grumpy neighbor, okay? He's making a contrast. He's saying, if even this reluctant, half-asleep, semi-friend will eventually open the door, how much more will your Father in heaven, who loves you and is waiting to respond to you, how much more will he come and answer your prayers? Then Jesus spells out this principle of persistence in verse 9. And it's simple. Even this old boy can understand it. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will open. Sometimes I've had unanswered prayers. What you would consider would be unanswered prayers. And then finally, the wisdom of God to realize that they were answered. They just weren't answered the way I thought they should. This reminds us that prayer isn't an instant thing, a one-time interaction. It's an ongoing conversation, and you will never have a greater thrill in this life before eternity than having conversation with our Heavenly Father. It is sweet. And we see this throughout Scripture. In Luke 18, Jesus tells of a similar story about a persistent widow, which we really referred to. And Jesus said that because of her persistence, the judge granted her justice. In Isaiah, the prophet says in chapter 62, verse 7, "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem." God is inviting each and every one of us today in our prayer life to be relentless in our prayers. Church, it's time to knock again. It's time to knock again. If you haven't seen results, go back to the Father and knock again. Maybe you've come to the point where you've stopped praying about something that you used to pray for. Of course, we all have. Sometimes we stop praying because we realize we're praying for the wrong thing. The Spirit is good and kind to identify that for us. Maybe often we stop praying because we lose sight and we lose hope of what victory looks like. Maybe we lose patience. We may even say silently in our own spirit, if God wanted this to happen, surely he would have made it happen by now. But Jesus says otherwise. He says, knock again. He says that it's okay to ask more than once. Your persistence doesn't offend God, but your lack of faith in not praying does. No good thing will I withhold. You remember those words? Nearly everybody today knows the story of Colonel Sanders, who at the age of 65 had an idea that he could sell his recipe for fried chicken. And he started calling on restaurants, and probably not the greatest business plan that he could have had, but he started calling on restaurants to sell his recipe that he had. Door after door, name after name, owner after owner, and he kept going and going, and it was no. It was no thank. It was no. Amazingly, 1,008 restaurants said no, but 1,009 said yes. And of course, we know what history came out of that. Now, if this old retired age gentleman at age 65 could get those kind of results, what excuse do we have to not keep praying for that child that is outside of grace? For that sister or that brother, father, mother? I remember hearing many people tell me that they have been praying for years for a husband or a wife or a child or a neighbor to accept Christ into their lives or for a healing. And they were still praying. Why? Because God answers their prayers. And they believe the truth of Scripture. Not everything happens overnight. Not every door opens the first time we knock. But the ones who keep knocking are the ones who see the miracles. If you've ever given up on prayer, maybe that's where you are right now. I invite you to reconsider. What if the very act of you praying brought you this close to the result you're looking for, and you give up? Church, today you need to keep praying, keep asking, and keep believing, because the power of prayer is the power of God. And there's no one within the sound of my voice or beyond that isn't in need of that in their lives today. You see, prayer is so simple. Every one of us can do that. In our own language, in our own way, we can talk to God. You simply start where you are, and you learn as you go. If you keep at it, in the process, trusting God, eventually you will be surprised at where the Spirit will take you in the depths of prayer. And that's really where God wants to keep us. In that intimate place before God, where He can speak to us and we can share with Him our hearts. Jesus said in verses 11 and 12, "Which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" It's a rhetorical question. What Jesus is saying is God is not like that. He doesn't play tricks. He doesn't bait and switch. We can trust God to give us something good, not something harmful, because God is righteous. He is a holy God. It would not be in His nature to do otherwise. You see, prayer isn't a place where we go to place an order. It's a place, it's a holy place. It's where God resides, where we go with a penitent heart and we express our desire for God to move in our lives or in someone else's. Some of us remember the Wright brothers, or at least learned their significance in history at some point. They didn't invent flight by reading about it or by writing about it or even talking about it. They didn't wait until they could provide first-class service to give it a try. No, they built and they tested and they tested and it broke and they rebuilt and tested again. They were persistent until they were the fathers of flight. And that's how successful prayer works. You don't learn standing still. You learn to pray by simply praying. Praying for everything. Again and again and again. Holding on to God. And He will answer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this avenue that You have given us in prayer. We thank You for Jesus that taught the disciples and how the Word of God has brought it to us today, that anyone can come before You in prayer with anything that's on our hearts, and You are more than willing and pleased to have us come. It is through prayer that we came in relationship with You. It is through prayer that we took the steps to baptism. It is in prayer that You bring healing to us. It is in prayer that You give us direction. It is through prayer that You bring comfort and peace and healing in our lives. And today I pray, Father, that the truths of Scripture that we have shared will be things that the Spirit can use in our daily lives so that we are more conscious and more able to be effective prayer warriors for ourselves and for this world. And Father, today, if there may be somebody here that has not taken the step to accept You as their Savior, I pray today that they would pray that simple prayer. Jesus, come into my life. I surrender now. Cleanse me. Make me new in You. I want to serve You. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Well, thank you. Oh, I see kids. Good. We've got one more song we're going to close with. This one is a little more familiar, not specific to the VBS this week. Miss Millie's telling me you need to stand up, so you better do it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.